Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming. It's good to have you here. Let's open our books to page 99. We'll pick up where we left off last week. And I think I'm just going to walk through a bunch of pictures here and show you some of Herod's building projects and some of the things that remain. Then we're going to go back to the history at the beginning of the book. And I'm still trying to get through a little more of the detail of all the history so we kind of see what's built on top of each other in Jerusalem as far as the remains. Because what's on the surface is a lot of modern stuff, but as they continue to go down, there's many more things there. One of the things that's been a debate is why they haven't found more things from the time of David or in the Iron Age. One of the articles just came out this last couple of weeks trying to explain that, as we know, the city of David, this part right here, that's the original part of the city. And so that's where the most stuff from that time period is, but it's been built over so many times that they've excavated out here, they've excavated over into this area. They've never really just cleaned that off and just gone down and looked in it. And it's like, well, and they probably shouldn't because people are living on top. It'd be like you digging up your house. But nonetheless, that's why a lot of those things, well, we've never found that. Well, we've never gotten to it. That's a lot of the answers there. So a lot of the archaeology that you see even now is just around the perimeter kind of moving in. The Jews have done a lot of excavation in their part of the city over here because when they came in and took that part of the city, it had been destroyed by the war, the Jordanian War in 67, that they just excavated it all and built up on top of what they had found underneath it. If they didn't find anything, they just went ahead and built. But that part is all up in this area here. So that was still part of the central valley back in the day. Well, anyway, let's bow our heads. I'll pray, and we'll start walking through the photos beginning on page 99. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country. And we do ask that we may learn, that we may understand and gain more insight into your word, that our faith may continue to be confirmed as we continue to grow and understand your plan for us at this time in history. Again, I thank you for the chance to be here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on page 99, I'm just planning on going through several of these pages, looking at them. A lot of things we talked about last week, but kind of pick up where we were. This right here, this first picture on page 99, when we talk about the Temple Mount, if we look right here, the city of David and Mount Moriah continuing up into here. On top of Mount Moriah was a Temple Mount. It was expanded by Herod, so it would look like this. Solomon originally would have built more of a square like this. As we look down on that Temple Mount, the temple would have sat, you know, right in here. The Hasmoneans, or the Maccabees, the family of the Maccabees that continued in and became that were the priests but became the royalty of the kings, they extended it down this far. And so right here is where you would see where the wall came together, where Solomon's wall continued here and then butted right up against there. The Hasmoneans extended it. And what you're looking at right here is called the straight seam. And you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rows up or courses up that you can visibly see. On the right would be stones from the days of Solomon. On the left would be the Hasmoneans. Then, of course, as you go up further, they start to overlap again, interlock. That's because that part had been knocked over and had been built, you know, during the last 2,000 years. But that's called the straight seam, and you can see it from right here. If you stand on the Mount of Olives right here, you know, you can point it out and look at it from there. And, of course, if you can walk by it, you know what you're looking for, you can find it. Okay, that's the straight seam. So on the left would be the Hasmonean extension. Yes, exactly. Right here, there's another place right here where you can see where they also started adding in. It's not so much a straight seam as it is more of a bend in the wall right there. So then if you look right here on the next page, tombs in the Kedron, we'll talk about more of these later, but these are tombs that were built during the time of Jesus. You can see the architecture, you can see the dome or the pyramid shape coming from Egypt or the Ptolemy, the influence of the Greeks in Egypt as they influenced the Palestine or Israel, I should say. And then you can also see Greek from the north with the pillars and the Seleucid. So those are the two times of the Hasmoneans. Remember the king of the south, the king of the north, fighting Egypt, Ptolemy, fighting against the Seleucids or Syria as they continue to battle during the days of the Maccabees or the silent 400 years. And that architectural influence is left there. So those are some tombs that were cut. Some of them were being built or were built in Jesus' time. Continue on the next page. We'll talk more about these later. On page 103, there's a different one, more of a, you can see the Greek dome on top, the little hat or cap. And you can see those clearly when you just stand and look over the Kedron Valley. They're very visible. You can't miss it. The one further to the bottom of the page on 103 is called the Tomb of Pharaoh's Daughter. It used to have a pyramid top on it, but that's been removed. Silwan, the city of the Palestinians, now that Tomb of Herod's Pharaoh's Daughter is right about here. These other tombs would be right about here if this is the Mount of Olives in the Kedron Valley running here. The city of Silwan is built right on top of it, as many of the tombs are in that area too. Some of the Old Testament tombs referred to by Jeremiah are located there also. We turn the page again, and now we're in the New Testament, Herod's building projects. This is where we talked about last week. Again, this is just a review. The ashlar stones, and you can see the very good example there on the first picture there on the page 104, with the border, the 2-inch border going around, or the trim going around. And they'd be set in about 1/2 inch set in as they continue to be built up higher and higher. Don asked a good question last week about how thick those stones were. And I think, as I thought about that several times this week, and on page 105, you can see this corner. There'd be this corner right here of the Temple Mound. We've got a diagram coming up here eventually showing you the layers of the stones and how many courses were there. And it looks like some of those stones are 4 foot tall or so. And the course that I told you and the feet that I told you it was at the distance, it didn't match up. It seemed like the stones would have to be a lot smaller. And I think as you look at these, some of those stones are going to be quite a bit smaller. And I get that was something I did not just know. But as I looked at it and thought about it, you can see those stones on the top right on page 105. Those aren't, and I know for sure, those aren't 4 feet. Those are more like, 2.5, 2 feet. And I think the next time I go over there, I'm going to throw a tape measure in my backpack. When I get there, I'm just going to measure myself. But anyway, I'll probably get arrested. But nonetheless, I think that is part of that answer. You can see those are getting, they're getting thinner and wider possibly. And again, that's just my assumption. I didn't really look that up, but I did look at these pictures and think about it. Those are just the courses there of the Herodian stones. And those are, every picture you see right there are stones that were there in Jesus' day. In fact, this is not like, do you think so, or it's super spiritual, or did you have a vision or anything? It's like, if Jesus were to have walked down this sidewalk, turned this corner, and went up to these stairs, and went up these stairs into the temple, he would have walked. You see that bottom picture on the right? Those are stairs, first century stairs, going on the south side. They're going right here. And those are both those stones on the wall and those stones right above it on the corner are right by the sidewalk. So if Jesus would have walked down that sidewalk, stopped and leaned against the wall and talked to Peter, which the Bible doesn't say that happened, but he did, he would have been leaning against. I mean, that's where he would have stood. I mean, that's not even, are you sure? It's like, yeah. I mean, those are the stones that he would have walked by, because that's the sidewalk that's been uncovered. Turn the page again. Page 106, and now again, we're looking down that south wall. The first picture on 106, we're looking down the south wall this way, and you can see those stones. Again, you can see they're Herodian, or the Herodian ashlars, because of the trim going around and the raised panel on the inside, or the embossed panel on the inside there, all trimmed by the stonemason. And that's a very long stone. If you look on the picture on the right where I've got some black lines drawn there, you can see how they've overlapped. They have a long stone overlapping a long stone, and they alternate so it kind of locks together. And this is why it stood for, 2,000 years. And the only stones that are missing were the ones that were actually pushed over by the Romans. And eventually they got down to the bigger stones, and it's like, this is close enough. Plus the rubble had built up around them, and plus these stones were too big to push over, and let's just call it good, and they went home or took control of the city. There's some other stones. We continue to show you things. There's some of the ways they were moved. A good example of how thick the stones are now. Now, this is where Tony is standing on page 109. She's standing right here at the top of these stairs right here, top of those stairs coming up, and now you can see how tall those stones are. And those are a different size. Those are not the same size as the other ones. Those are more of the what we'd call the master chorus stones, the heavy ones that lock the wall in place. We talked about that. We'll see that here in a minute again. That master chorus stone was a very large stone, very heavy. So they'd build up several layers or choruses, and they'd, I'm not going to say it was wobbling, but it would be unstable until you put that heaviest stone on there, just crush down on it, and that stabilized the choruses underneath it. No, I don't. I mean, it would be the typical time that they did it. Their craftsmanship was common for the day. Some of the styles maybe, or was Herod was making it very, very nice. I know they would break the stones out of the quarries. We didn't get to the quarries last week, or I mentioned it, but they'd chisel a groove. Again, I'm not an expert on this, but they'd cut a groove with a stonemason with the chisels and hammers. They'd cut a groove in the rock. They'd pound a board down in there and then dump water on the board. And the board would absorb water, put stress on that groove they cut, and just crack the rock. And again, they had to know, like I know grain on wood. You know, when you look at wood grain, you just know how to run it through the joint. I can look at this pattern right here. It's all fabricated. But, you know, I know I'd want to feed that through the jointer this way so it would cut. I can see that. Anyone that's worked with wood can. And probably the same thing with the grain of the rock. The stonemasons were trained in knowing how it was going to break. When you look in the quarry, this quarry in Jerusalem and other places, you can find places where the stones didn't break right, or as they broke, they began to realize there's a fault in that layer of rock, and they just skip it and go somewhere else. It was a worthless set of stones. But I don't know the details of how they cut it. But I do know, like on page 108, we talked about this last week, on there's two examples there of that extra piece that was left on the stone that they would come back later and chisel off. But they'd wrap ropes around that knob sticking out to move the stones. And then when they got it all set in place, they'd chisel it down. And why these weren't removed is not that they didn't intend for it to be removed, but they were building the temple up until the time it was destroyed. I mean, it was just, they were building it in Jesus' day. It wasn't like finished. They continued to build up until 65, 66, 80, kind of just wrapping it up. But they still had, like, you know, when you build a house or you do work, you always have after everybody's done, the texture's done, the painting's done, you have someone come through and fix all of the mistakes, you know, where they ding the paint on the wall or they chip the corner on the sheetrock. They kind of, the detail, they come by and detail the house or the residence. And they were detailing the temple when it was getting ready to be destroyed. So they got it done. As soon as they got it done and were just detailing it, the Romans came and tore it down. So these are things that didn't get done with the detail team that came by. It was chipping those extra knobs off those stones. Yes. Now, again, when I say temple, we're not talking about that. That's misleading because this is all scribbled up here. This would be the temple building. This would be where the altar was at and stuff out in here. But then the precinct, the walls, the details, the building, Solomon's colonnade, I mean, they continued to build and build. It was grand, it was very glorious. Right, right. Correct, right. Just like you look at Waukee school system, they've got their buildings are done, and it's beautiful buildings, but you drive by, what do they got? They got construction going on. Same thing. On the next page, page 110, you can see the Temple Mount wall. We talked about this last week. This is what I've been scribbling up here, just in a review. That very center square, I've actually got it labeled. There says Solomon's original platform. That was original, and that would still be there. It just hasn't been excavated. And we've seen a couple stones. We mentioned that last week. Then you can see the Hasmonean extension to the south, and then Herod expanding it all the way around. And again, that is not the temple. That is, in a sense, just the sandbox or the retaining wall around Mount Moriah that was all filled in to make a flat level surface, and then they began the building. So if you look on page 111, you can see the temple building. I guess this is a model now. This is a model that you can go see in Jerusalem and walk around. It's a very nice model. But you can see how flat the surface is. That's Mount Moriah after the retaining wall had been built. Does this make sense of what I'm saying here? Okay. If you look at the bottom picture, you can see the north portion of the Temple Mount. And you can just barely catch the temple building itself on the left side there. But you can see how the north side of, that would have been this area right in here. That picture on the bottom is showing you this area right here of where the retaining wall was built and then it was leveled off. And it's a huge, you can walk around up there, you can get lost up there almost. And again, that's on the north side. See where Fort Antonia is at, where Jesus was taken for trial, and then the Pool of Bethesda is there also. Turn the page, and now we're looking at the south. This again is a photograph of a model. This is the south wall right here, and you can still see portions of it. In fact, the double gate and triple gate, those two gates there on the south side, you can still see the remains of those. Again, talking about like the door jam or the gate jam on the triple gate. We'll look at that here in a moment again. The stairs going up, you can still see those. Those have been excavated. You can walk up those. And the stones going along, that's where Tony was actually standing, kind of where that line says southern wall, the double gate and triple gate pointing right there. About there, that's where about Tony was standing that picture before. She's standing right in front of the stones, and those are the Herodian stones or the stones of Jesus' time. Good question. Yep. That's a good question. And it works like this. Now remember, here's Mount Moriah. Here is the retaining wall that was built around it. And then this is now the surface up here, and the temple's going to be built up here on the Temple Mount. These are the retaining, the walls that we've been looking at. Nothing is left of the temple. Now, you understand when I talk about the temple and the Temple Mount. Nothing is left of the temple. They found pieces of, well, I'll talk about that later. Okay, now, to come up here, there would be, they cut stairs right up here like this, and they come up to that platform, and then right here is your triple gate, which is actually the Gate Beautiful. This, and you can see the jam, the door jam right here, the gate jam right here. Part of that stone is still there, the detail cut in the jam. And then here's the double gate. You'd walk in there, and there would be, and now again, you can go in there. I can't go in there. You can't go in there. But Muslims go in there because it's now a mosque. But that ramp, you would walk in that gate, and there's a ramp like this. Let's go look at it this way. Here's the top of the stairs. Here's the top. Here's the temple up here. And here's your double gate. Now we're walking up the stairs. Walk up the stairs. You go in, and you got to get up here on the surface of the Temple Mound. You'd walk up. There's a ramp right here, just like if you walked into a ballpark or something. I think I was just reading something this week. They're saying it's a ramp. I always had the impression it was stairs, but I think I saw a picture that they was showing a ramp from another temple built at the same time. Well, you just walk up here, and then what would happen here? You'd have to come out on the surface. I know why I think it's stairs, because you can still see it. Okay, now we're going to start meandering. Let me see if I can find this quickly. I'm going to go back to around page 210. 220, we're on the temple, okay, yeah, there we go, page 220. Let's go to page 220, that's good, page 220. On page 220, we are now, that picture that you see right there, both of those, I am standing on the Temple Mound right there. Again, it's where the Dome of the Rock is at. And that is not the original pavement stones. I think that's been recovered because the Muslims have rebuilt several things up there. But one thing that is original is I'm standing on the Temple Mount, and where I'm standing on that Temple Mount is I'm standing, get rid of this temple here, just took the temple down. I'm standing right about here on the Temple Mount looking this way, looking towards the south, or I'm standing right about here looking this way. And I'm looking right there. You can see that stairway right there? That is the stairway. This, you understand? That is the stairway that goes down to the double gates. So that pavement was like that, but it's probably been reworked. But those stairs going down right there, if I would have took my camera and says goodbye to Tony, gave her a hug, and just rushed down there with my video running and snapping photos, I could have ran down there and took pictures of the inside of the double gate. It's there. You can, and then I would have been arrested, and I wouldn't be here tonight. But it would have been it would have been a great way to go. Well, I don't know. There's probably better ways to go. But in here, you can see it, and you can go online and look it up. And I've got to get some better connections to it, and for people to find links. But you can see up in here. You can see the carving, and the stonework from the toes. If Jesus would have walked in that double gate, which he would have, and looked up, you can still see that was not destroyed. You can still see it. It's amazing that it's there. I mean, we don't know that. I mean, it's like the average Christian, the Western, doesn't know that that's there yet. And of course, there's no animals, a lot of vines and fruit types of things as all the details are kept, but there's no animals, no people. So it's clearly a Jewish work. If it's Gentile work, they're going to put some of the Greek gods, are going to put fighting a lion or something, but no animals, no men, nothing like that, but a lot of vines and decorative cuts. Now, in just a moment, I'll be able to show you if I keep going. They have found, as they've excavated, because the Romans tore that and pushed it over the side. The Romans didn't, like, take rocks home with them. They just destroyed it and left it lay there. So as they excavate, they bring out chunks of rock that have got, like, different designs that would fit in the different moldings somewhere around the temple. And so anyway, we're standing on the Temple Mount looking down into that double gate. Does that answer your question? And that's the same way it would have been over here in the triple gate. What? No, there's no sign. I'm from Iowa. I already tried that two or three times and it didn't work. Right. Well, one of the things, you just kind of have a feeling because of the guards that are standing around, the fact that how you got in there was like checkpoints and just very careful. And what you're looking at, the building behind that right there, like you look on the picture on the top, you can see the stairs on the left corner, bottom left corner, that's the stairs going down the double gate. And then right there, what you're looking at is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It is the third most holy place of Islam, Mecca, Medina, and then this. Now, people say on the page on the right, The Dome of the Rock, it's the third most holy place. It's not the Dome of the Rock. It's not the third most holy place. It's the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is on the Temple Mount. On the Temple Mount, let's go back to... and I'm just shooting stuff at you right now. Here's your Temple Mount today again. The Dome of the Rock is here. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is here. Here's the stairs. There's a double gate, triple gate, and it comes up right in here. And that's that stairway right there. This is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This is the Dome of the Rock. This is the third most holy place, Mecca, Medina, and here. This is something else. I mean, that's another, they pray there and all kinds of, but that is not the most holy, third most holy place, unless you consider the whole temple area that way. I was going to say something right here. There's a question I was going to answer that I knew you'd have. Oh, this is interesting too. Again, this is, now remember, there's a retaining wall here, and it's been filled in and leveled. So it's all level. So part of this, especially right in here and a couple other places, the bedrock from Mount Moriah surfaces. And if you stand right here, there's another place. I think it's on one of these sides. I think it's over on this side. Maybe right here. I'd have to go back and look. But there's another place where the bedrock surfaces. Other place where the bedrock actually, so you actually can stand right on Mount Moriah as it rises. But then everything else, the mount or the rock formation tapers down. So all of this is fill, okay, including... This entire area is filled because this is Herod's extension. So from that double that straight seam south is basically all just filled in to extend the Temple Mount. Do you understand what I'm saying? This was the original Temple Mount. This was all, the wall was extended, and then they filled it in. Now, with the Al-Aqsa Mosque standing here, whenever it happens every once in a while in history, there's an earthquake or a tremor, and because this is not on bedrock, this is on bedrock up in here, this is on fill. This thing gets just shaken to pieces, and this thing will come. I mean, when they talk about earthquakes and, you know, Jerusalem having earthquakes, this Al-Aqsa Mosque is, I mean, it's not going to last. I mean, that's, everybody knows, it's already been rebuilt. It falls, they rebuild it. So just so you know, that's the kind of where that's at. That used to be where, when they talk about Solomon's colonnade, this is where Solomon's colonnade, this is where Jesus would have had his trial before the Sanhedrin, before he went to see Pilate. He would have been brought into these temple courts, right into this area here where he would have met with the Sanhedrin early in the morning, most likely. Right, on page 112, that is just a model. That's not real. Yeah, the one on the right is the triple gate. Yep. In fact, if I keep going here, I'll show you an image of that you can still see. Like I said, you can still see the door jam from there, or the gate jam from there. Well, okay, yeah. Yeah, now while we're there on page 112, we're going back to where we were. There's a diagram directly underneath that photograph that she's referring to where it says Herod's Temple Mount. And now you can see some general ideas there. I'm going to answer your question in just a minute. You see the double gate and triple gate, and you can see the ramps. And it appears right there that it would be a ramp, and then you hit those stairs that you can visual. That's why I thought they were stairs, because you can visually see the stairs. I've got them drawn in there. And then it ramps down, apparently. You can also see where the Jewish temple was, the thing that looks kind of like a, you know, the building that looks like this. You know, it looks like this. Like that. You can see that with the altar. That's obviously not there today, but that's where the Jewish temple would have stood. And then you can see that dotted line. That's the today. You have to go up a set of stairs. The Muslims have built another platform on the Temple Mount that you go up to get to the Dome of the Rock. And that's what's there today. And some things, we'll just look on the western wall there. Warren's Gate. I showed you pictures of that last week. We'll bump into them again here. Where I took a picture of the ladies praying by the gate, the wall in the tunnel. I said that's the closest place, the holy place, the Ark of the Covenant. That's right there. They figured that out. That's as close as they can get. That's the closest place they can get. The general public goes out on the Western Wall Plaza and says that's as close as they can get. But if you go down to the tunnels, you can actually get perfectly parallel, perpendicular to it. Wilson's Arch. They have like a school, or there's books and scrolls underneath there. They have continuous study in there today. So Wilson's Arch is still there. It's called Warren's Gate because a guy named Warren discovered it. Wilson's Arch because a guy named Wilson discovered it. That's why they got all the Western names there. Just like Barclay's Gate and then Wilson's Arch. Wilson's Arch, Barclay's Gate, Wilson's Arch, and Warren's Gate were all access doors or gates going up to the Temple Mount to enter in Jesus' day. Robinson's Arch, it would come like this and turn and go upstairs. So you could walk up these stairs and turn and walk into the, you could go through the double gate, go through the ramp system, or walk up these stairs, walk up these stairs, and then go right into the Temple Mount. That was Robinson's Arch. The only thing that remains today is the Springer, the rock there that kind of held in. You can see the remains of it. And then the footings out here where the base of the whole stair system was built. Barclay's Gate, you can still see the lintel. We'll take a look at that. The lintel that went above the gate. So when they would build, a gate, I'm going to make it very simple. Here's one side, here's the other jam, and you'd walk into the gate. On top of that would be a lintel that would kind of, that you'd build around. You can still see this lintel for Barclay's Gate. It's still there in the wall, so you know where the gate was at. And the same thing with Wilson's Arch, you can see at that, and then Warren's Gate, we saw that last week. So those are all there. So right there, you can see the triple gate, the double gate, Robinson's Arch, Barclay's Gate, Wilson's Arch, and Warren's Gate. You can all see some kind of remains of that in the temple. Now, it's, you know, why haven't, this has been discovered and excavated in the last 150 years. Before that time, it was, you know, people weren't as I don't want to say scientific, they weren't as interested, and they just kind of used what they could find. They used the rocks to build something that they want to use. And now archaeologists have gone over, they've looked at it and studied it and kind of, why is that rock like that? Then they begin to think and imagine. They'd read Josephus, or they'd read Josephus's accounts on what Josephus said. They'd read other historians. They'd read the rabbis' writings of how the temple functioned and how people would access it. They put all these together, look at the remains, say, well, this is, and the Jews didn't call it Robinson's Arch. They called it something else. We call it Robinson's Arch because Robinson identified it. If you look on page 113, you can see the same thing. You can see Robinson's Arch, the Western Wall, and Wilson's Arch and Gate. That, again, is not the way it looks today. That is a picture of a model of what it would have looked like. So you can see the houses, and then you got a little street coming right up from the middle of the page going up. Anyway, that's, you know, so in one case we're looking at the remains, the other case we're looking at a model that just, you had a question or comment. Right. Now when we go in up to the Temple Mount, being Gentile pagans, there's only one way, because remember the Muslims control it. The triple gate is blocked, the double gate is blocked. This Robinson's arch. All that remains there is a springer in the wall that kind of shows you where it's connected, but otherwise that's walled shut. What they have here is up here at the newer part of the wall, they keep having different ways of getting up there. There's been a ramp, a wooden ramp. There used to be a dirt ramp that you would use that collapsed, and they built another ramp, a wooden ramp. We've gone up where it's kind of like just walking up a wooden ramp, like a construction area, into there. Then you go through the checkpoint. This is the only way you can enter, if you're a Gentile, pagan, infidel, to the Temple Mound right here. There's other places you can leave. Like you can go out like the chain down street, chain street or something. You can leave other ways. This is the way. What we're talking about right now is what used to be there. There's other things have changed as far as getting in there now. Okay. Let me see if I can find that quickly here. We're on page 112. Okay, I'm flipping. And what we're talking about there, what you got to start thinking Herod's retaining wall. Think Herod's retaining wall. Okay, I'm still flipping. I bet you I need to go back to page 220. I'm going back to the Dome of the Rock, see if it's there. If you go to page 226, this answered your first question, page 226, do not forget what your second question. I just bumped into this on page 226. This is now the access to the Temple Mount. And if you look on page 227, you can see the diagram. That is a modern diagram today of what's on the Temple Mount, page 226. You see, I've got the double gate marked there. That's not accessible. Right on top of it there, it says the Al-Aqsa Mosque. You can see I've got the entrance, the stairs that you can see where they come out on the surface there. Are you with me here? Okay, very good. You can see where the Dome of the Rock at. You can see that odd-shaped, you know, what's the name of that? Square. It's not a square. What's a square that's not like that? It's not a rhombus. The Dome of the Rock is an octagon, but what's that platform? Trapezoid. That's it. A rhombus is a running square. Because I deal with kids making square projects that are leaning. Those are rhombuses, I tell them. But yeah, that'd be a trapezoid. Big deal. There's your math lesson for tonight. But you can see right there, I've got a big bold arrow on the left side on what would be called the Western Wall, that bold arrow, going in the Morocco Gate. And the Morocco Gate, there's a little sign. I got a photo of it as we went in there. That is how you go in. And look on page 226. There's Tony going up the wooden ramp. Now, that was just recently built because there used to be a dirt ramp that you could walk up, and it got washed out and just collapsed one day, which was big news. And so now they have a wooden ramp, and they're continually trying to figure out how they're going to get people up there successfully, because you're actually walking over the Western Wall. So now look at the bottom picture on page 226. They got Western Wall of the Temple Mount. There's the Jews facing that Western Wall. What they're actually doing, they're looking. They're standing right here. This is the Western Wall. This is the Morocco Gate right here, and Tony's walking up a ramp right into there. And now you can see in the background on the right side of that picture, you can see where I wrote temporary ramp leading to the Temple Mount. That's the ramp that Tony's walking up. That is the only way that we can get into the Temple Mount is through that ramp up through the Morocco Gate or the Maghrabi Gate for non-Muslims. And if you look on page 227, there's a picture of the Temple. Now I'm standing on the Temple Mount. I'm just standing up here just taking a picture. Snap, boom. That's how big it is. Just all that's Herod's base of the temple, or the surface of the temple, how it's all spread out. And that's just one direction, so it's large. Okay, I'm still looking for that. Go on page 228 while we're doing this. There's page 228. Those are different views you can read. I could read it for you, all of that. But you can see the Al-Aqsa Mosque on that first photo. I'm looking at the top photo on the right. I'm standing right about here in front of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, or right about in this area, looking into that corner right there. And so here's the Kidron Valley. I'm looking into that corner right there on the top picture. The next picture there, I've gone into this corner, and I'm looking across this way, and you can see Tony walking along the wall by herself there. And that building in the background, what would that be? If Tony's standing right here, I'm standing right here, I'm looking this way, taking a photo of the Temple Mount, what is that building right there? The Al-Aqsa Mosque. You can see right behind Tony is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And then the next picture, I just turn. I'm looking this way, I turn here, and I look this way, and there's your Dome of the Rock. Well, not your Dome of the Rock, their Dome of the Rock. You see a little dome right there. That's how far, that gives you a perspective. I'm standing in that bottom picture on page 228. I'm standing right here in the southeast corner looking at the Dome of the Rock, which you can barely see the dome of behind those trees. That gives you a perspective of the Temple Mount. Yes, ma'am.
It
depends on the season, depends on the holy day. This was just a hot June day, and there's nothing going on. But if it's during the Al-Aqsa Mosque is loaded with this tons of people up there praying. So there's a lot of times there's a lot of Muslims up there praying. I really don't know if that whole entire has ever been full. I do know that over here in front of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, this is packed. There's also a place that's called The Cup in English. It's called something else in the Arabic. But there's a place for washing where they got little chairs. They put their feet, they wash. So it's designed for masses of people. Just like the Jews used to have the mikvahs, the ritual baths outside the Temple Mount here where they'd wash to get in. They'd also have ritual washing. Yeah, there's... Yeah. Well, yeah, no. One of the advantages is because we just flew in, got to Tel Aviv, took a taxi and went, and we just kind of ran around. And I'd go out of my way to, you know, wait until the tour groups, you know, move to the next site, and there they wait, then snap, 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 snap. Yeah, I didn't want a picture of a bunch of, you know, tourists in the pictures. But yeah, it wasn't, on this particular day, it wasn't real hard. And again, it's a big area, so we're way off on the sides. And Tony did get kind of hot that day. It was pretty hot up there. Okay. Okay. Hold your place there and go back to page 212. I don't know. But I do know, like, the place like the Golden Gate and a different place like that, you weren't always going up a ramp. I do not know the answer to that question. But I know some places they had stairs to get to. Other places on the northern side, it wasn't quite as steep. I don't know how they got the animals up there. Well, okay, now the Dung Gate, though, that's in the wall of the city. That was, you know what I'm saying, that's the southern wall of the city. Like, let's find, here we go, right here. Jerusalem in Nehemiah's day. Here's the temple. Here's the old city of David. And that's the Dung Gate down there. That's where they take the waste out of the city to the dump. Right. Yeah, that's, I don't know. Yeah, this is a sheep gate, but that's called a sheep gate because of this pool. This used to be outside the city where the sheep would graze and eat, drink water in the pool. That's why it became the sheep gate. I would think it'd be easier bringing it in from the south because you're higher, all more on the same level. Down. Correct, yes. Down here, you're always going uphill. That's why you always got stairs. I'm making this up. I do not know the answer. I would just... 5 miles right here. 5 miles. If you stand here at the Joppa Gate right here and you look this direction, southwest, you can see the hills where Bethlehem's at. You can see it's there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that too, yeah. Yeah. I do not think that's information that's going to be impossible to find. I mean, there's enough rabbis writing, enough Josephus records everything. I mean, seems like it. That's information that could be available. I just don't know off the top of my head about that. 5 miles this way. Silwan is right here. I mean, Silwan is, okay, here is, okay, here we go. The original city of David, Mount Moriah. This is the sheep gate, right? This is why we call that the sheep gate, because this is where the sheep used to graze before the city expanded. Silwan is actually on right here. It's just like right there. In fact, this part right here, the old city of David, this is actually called Silwan. You've got the Kidron Valley separating it, but it's like two parts. No, okay, now, okay, I'm sorry. When we say, okay, good question or good misunderstanding. The city of David, the historical, the city of David, where David was born, Bethlehem. Prophecy. Jesus was born in the city of David, Bethlehem, 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem. But now we're talking about Jerusalem. And when David conquered it from the Jebusites, he conquered Jerusalem or Salem or Jabesh, and this became David's city. This is the city of David. So when you're in Jerusalem, and this is the city today, this is the city, these are the walls that were built in the 1500s today. There's the Dome of the Rock. This is now, and you can't get this confused with Nehemiah's walls, nor can you, you know what I'm saying, because this is the walls today. Nehemiah's walls are basically gone. But this right here, south of the Mount Moriah, is where David's city was originally. This is now the city of David. This is a good point. I've been throwing words around here. If you look on a map and you're going to fly into Jerusalem, it's a modern city. It looks like Los Angeles or whatever. Probably not like Los Angeles. It looks like Chicago. Probably not Chicago. What's it look like? You know, it looks like a city. It looks like Des Moines. It's bigger than Des Moines. But you fly. There's you know, high-rise apartments. There's buildings. There's interstates. And so you're busy. You may never go. It's probably possible. Just like some of you have never been to Effigy Mounds in Iowa, the burial place of the Indians. But if you're on a Japanese tour group coming over here, into Iowa, you're going to go to Effigy Mounds and see the Indian because you've studied it when you were in school. But we live in Iowa the whole time, and it's like, effigy, what? What is that? And in many cases, this is called the old city. So you can live in Jerusalem, work in Jerusalem, drive in Jerusalem, you know, go out to eat in Jerusalem, you know, worship in Jerusalem, and go to a synagogue in Jerusalem, and never really enter the old city. This is called the Old City. This is called the City of David. So if we look on this map, this was originally Jerusalem. Today, what we call the Old City Jerusalem is really up here. This is where the Old City, and the City of David is outside of that walls. So Jerusalem is a big city in Israel. The Old City of Jerusalem is what is built in these walls right here, but the city that David conquered, Jerusalem, is this plot of ground right here south of the Temple Mount. So this is that plot of ground that David conquered right here. This is the Temple Mount here. And actually, the Old City continues way over here to this side right here today. Does that make sense at all? I mean, so you got the City of David. You got two references, City of David. Bethlehem is where David was born. But David conquered Salem, and that's called the City of David in this area here. So Silwan has nothing to do with Bethlehem. Silwan is this original place that David conquered. It's just where the Palestinians have settled. And I don't know. No, it's Palestinian, yeah. And again, it seems like I know what that means, but I can't. I'm filing through my references right now. I'm not seeing it. Yes, that's a very good, yeah, that's a good problem. That's a mistake on my part of using. No, it would be the Temple Mount here. This is the temple that David was getting ready to build, and Solomon built it up here. David was looking at that. David was planning on building. You remember the story. Nathan came and he said, I'm going to build this. And they said, well, do whatever your hand finds you or something. He came back the next day and said, no, God told me you're not supposed to build this. David was planning on building right here. That's where Abraham would have offered Isaac and all that. Okay? Yes, sir. I still got your question coming. I'm heading there. Yeah. They live... Boy, there's Orthodox Jews in the Jewish quarter, but I remember being out late or early one morning, like 4 o'clock one morning, riding in a cheroot, a taxi. We're getting ready to leave, and we were picking up Orthodox Jews. And it seems like they were up in this part outside the Old City, a whole section of town. Again, Tony probably know where we were, but they have houses and apartments, and you can see them standing on the corners, you know, talking to each other. Outside of this city, with the black hats, the black robes, the Orthodox Jews. So yeah, again, there's all kinds of people living around here. Okay, and again, I am not by any means an expert on all of this, although I like to pretend I am. Let's go back to page 229. I'm trying to find a photo of actually what I'm doing, and I'm not seeing it here. While we're on page 229, you see right there, there's a big hole cut in the ground right there. That's a hole cut in the dome on the Temple Mount on page 229. The two pictures on the left are right about in the middle of the Temple Mount. You see the Dome of the Rock in the very background, a little dome there. And then on the right, there's a hole on page 229 where the steps going down. That is where the Muslims have actually just carved out, just dug out with backhoes, a huge hole in the Temple Mount, threw the dirt and soil away, and built what they wanted to call a mosque as they go down underneath into the tunnels, an area called Solomon's Stables, which aren't Solomon's Stables, but nonetheless is what they're called. That was all right there. I would say, and many people say, that is an archaeological crime right there. They just dug it up and destroyed the evidence. You can go on page 230. You can see there again, there's those steps. I'm standing on the Temple Mount, probably right about this area, right about here, looking right about here at that area, and that's what you see. Just all these steps, they just plowed that out and built that step. That's brand new. That's like 2008, 2007, brand new. So there's nothing to be impressed with that except when you listen to the news and wonder what's going on. You can see the pile of rubble there on page 230. Those are just some extra stones that they were using for pavement that they just kind of got a construction, like you had a construction site, that's just kind of stuff piled up over there that they're not using right now. Page 231, I'm standing on that first picture on page 231. I'm standing right here, right in front of where the temple, where the altar would have been, looking right at the Mount of Olives, looking out over the wall, looking to the east. Right below that is El Kas, or the cup. That's one of the places where the Muslims wash. Then you see the Golden Gate. Again, many things there. Okay, bingo, there it is. I got a better picture somewhere else, too. Look on page 233. This is a place right here, the bedrock of Mount Moriah can be seen right here. This is called the Dome of the Ascension. And this is located, the bedrock, the covered by the Dome of Rock, something, okay. This, right there, is the part, that's the bedrock, and it's built around there. Again, you can see a picture of it. It's the Dome of the Ascension is on page 232 in the bottom right. And that is part of the bedrock of the actual Mount Moriah. You can see the difference between the pavement and then the bedrock. The bedrock tapers down, the pavement covers it up. But that is, just so you know, that is the spot. Muhammad never came to Jerusalem. He was too busy fighting down in Mecca, Medina, down in the Saudi Arabia. Never really thought about Jerusalem, apparently. But in his writings, apparently, I mean, he was taken by God in a night vision somewhere and was shown something. And he ascended into heaven from somewhere. They read back in the text that he was taken to Jerusalem because they want Jerusalem to be holy for them, although Muhammad knew nothing, didn't pay any attention to it. He said he turned his back on it. I'm rambling here. But anyway, this is where he was supposed to be standing when he ascended into heaven, right here. So they built that. Well, why did they build the Dome of the Rock? Why did they build the Dome of the Rock where it was? It appears they built the Dome of the Rock to build over the top of the site of the Jewish temple. And as we've talked about and is recorded, they built the Dome of the Rock bigger and more glorious than just over here, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Remember, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre had been there for 600 years, or the site of Jesus' death and resurrection had been marked and honored by Christians for 600 years, including the entire Byzantine church period, when the Christian Romans built this, honored this. So when the Muslims would come to Jerusalem, they'd say, "Whoa, cool building." So the Muslim says, "We've got to do something," because everybody's stopping by to take photos. So they built something up here, bigger and more glorious, to dwarf the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. You can see the same design, the dome. And they built it, according to tradition and legend and what they would be thinking, they built it on the site of the Jewish temple to snuff out the Jews are done. So that is why the Dome of the Rock is built on. The reason they don't want to admit that today, because by saying, are you with me? By saying we built the Dome of the Rock on top of the site of Herod's temple or Solomon's temple, is they actually have said this is where Herod's temple stood. They deny today, you check it out, do your own research, there never was a Jewish temple. It's a lie of the Jews. Arafat, he's on record, they say, never will we ever admit the Jews ever built a temple here. It never happened. The Jews will tell you that, but prove to us there was a temple here. You can't. They say, it's a lie. We were here first. And so now, again, now watch. This is where the Dome of the Ascension is, where Muhammad stood and ascended into heaven. They built that hundreds of years ago to memorialize that spot. And then right over here is the Dome of the Rock. So the question eventually comes, now again, it's not a big issue in the 1700s, the 1800s, it's not a big issue. This is where Muhammad ascended. This is where the Jewish temple was. And it's in their writings, it's in their history, it's just the way it is. But coming into the 1900s, 1920s, 1948, 1970, 1999, 2011, it's a big deal. What's a big deal? There never was a temple here. Why did you build the Dome of the Rock? Yeah, why did you build the Dome of the Rock here? And they'll tell you, because that's where Muhammad ascended to heaven from that rock, the Dome of the Rock. That's where he ascended from heaven. It's like, from here? Yes, Muhammad ascended to heaven from here. Well, what's this over here? Well, that's the Rock of Ascension. Well, what happened there? Well, tradition says that's where Muhammad ascended. It's like, so your traditions are moving around as history goes, okay? So again, that's just, when people say, well, that's not where the temple was, it may not be where the temple was. But understand, that's what they've thought for, well, from 600 until 1948, or probably more like 1967. You see what I'm saying? Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Okay. That's me, a Western Christian propaganda coming at you. Now, you go back and talk to a Muslim, they'll tell you a completely different story and have that. But nonetheless, that is the rock, that's the Dome of the, page 233, that is Mount Moriah. Okay, now we are looking, stay with me here. I hope I can explain this to you. I've got a better, look on page 230, page 232, and you see the stairway. And you can see how the stairs are not lined up with that, the platform going in the background. Do you see that right there? You just, I've got to find, I've did a better job of detailing this here in the book. And what I'm actually, if you guys want to help me look for it, this is what's embarrassing on the video is when I'm just like fumbling around up here, just wasting time. This is why teachers usually just stick with notes and say, well, I'm not going to answer that question right this time because I won't be able to find the page. Okay, I know. I'm going to go to the Old Testament, Solomon's Wall, Solomon's Quarries, Broad Wall, Solomon's Temple. I'm going to go to page 75, see what happens if I go to page 75. Bingo. Got it. Okay, this book is very well organized. Okay, page 75. You can see on page 75 the exact same photo that you were just seeing there that we were looking at. Now, let me see if I can explain this to you. This is going to take a little bit of, it's not complicated, it's just how do you get this orientated. So please look on page 77. And the first thing you see on page 77 is you see this, drawn this way. Now, the problem with this picture now, I'm turning the Temple Mount on its side. Usually I've been drawing it lengthways. This is now south, this is now east. This is the Kidron Valley over here. Here's the Western Wall. Are you with me on this? This is Herod's extension. So if we were to draw right here, here is Solomon's original platform. This would be the Hasmoneans' southern extension. This is then Herod's extension, okay? And that is what you see right here. Now, now we're going to zoom in on the platform, that trapezoid. That trapezoid, we're going to draw them with switch colors. That trapezoid is going to sit something like, well, you can see right there, like this. Pow, 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 something like that. And again, that's not drawn in proportion. But the important thing is right here. And the steps all the way around that platform. Now, when you see what I'm talking about when I say platform, if you look on the bottom of the page, on page 77, you go up those steps and go through that little gate, and those gates are nothing. I mean, that's not remains. Some people take photographs of that, put it on the internet or something, they say, this is the remains on the Temple Mount. Those aren't remains of anything. They're just some kind of gate they put up to decorate. It's nothing. But you go up those stairs, and then now you're up on that, so you can kind of see how high this trapezoid platform is for the Dome of the Rock. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? And if you notice, on the picture now on the top on page 77, all of the stairs all run parallel with the trapezoid. Do you understand? Now, this is Rittmeyer. This is Lean Rittmeyer. say, are there any questions? But I'm just going to go over and shut this off. Alex Amask, it would have been, I don't know, it's in the book probably, but I'm pretty sure it's the Dome of the Rock.